I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One matter of business, I'd like to change the order of the agenda. We'll just turn four into five and five into four so that we can get right to the curative amendment portion. Member attendance, Stroyan here.
DiLorenzo here.
Bonanno here.
Willis here.
Mr. Magnata, Mr. Belwar.
So is Mr. Belwar.
Secretary. Do I have a motion to approve or any corrections or changes to the previous minutes?
I make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? None opposed?
Recording in progress.
None opposed? Thank you. Is Mr. Waldron coming?
I believe he is. Let me just double check with Mr. He was as of 2 hours ago.
So my name is Beth Kemmerly. Rachel emailed me and let me know y'all were having the meeting tonight. Check it out.
Okay, thank you.
Well, welcome, Beth.
Welcome, yes. So we're at number four, which would be the curative amendment. Given the last correspondence, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Attorney Belwar.
Thank you. All right, to bring you up to speed, we have received a letter from Mr. Waldron together with his latest version of the proposed ordinance. In that letter, he said that enough's enough and he's looking for a vote tonight on his revision to the ordinance, his proposed revision. You also received from me a revision to what I had last produced to you. So now you have my thoughts in the proposed curative zoning amendment. And I want to run through that. First, I'll highlight that there is no deadline, there is no requirement for action by the Planning Commission tonight. That being said, I think there may be some motions that make sense toward the end of this. All right, so the revisions that I put in front of you tried to capture the conversation from the last PC meeting. And that addressed a couple different things. There are one or two open issues that I want to run through with you and get your thoughts on. First is density. If you remember, they had proposed a minimum lot area of 7 acres. We said, it should be a 10. They came back and said, that presents a problem for us because while we have 20 acres on the one side of the state highway, we have 7 acres on the other side. What happens when we come forward with that? One way to skin this cat is to add a provision, if the PC finds it makes sense, add a provision that says if you have a lot or two lots in single ownership that are separated by a road, the township can consider that to be one lot. That would certainly take care of DEPG's issue. What I don't know, because I'm not familiar enough with the rest of the township, is are there any unintended consequences for us with that?
Well, in this case, they're not buying both parcels at the same time.
Yeah, I think the issue, or the way it could be written, is if you come before the township at any point with ownership or an ownership interest in both pieces that are separated by a road, the township will look at both those pieces as a single property for purposes of this proposed curative zoning amendment.
In other parts of our ordinance, we don't allow that.
On the roadway?
Yeah.
Well, it's not common, but it is one way of dealing with the issue if it's a single or same ownership. If it's under the same ownership, then it could be determined to be one parcel if the township so desired, but I can't speak for the supervisors.
I just want to comment that that's not a fact. We may just buy both parcels at the same time.
Okay.
And I believe that property is actually one parcel.
It is.
So it's actually one map parcel number?
Yes. And a number of years ago, back in the late 80s, early 90s, they actually clarified the municipality's planning code to say the fact that a road goes through a property does not automatically subdivide it.
Right.
So that is still one parcel.
So Andy,
27 acres in total.
Yeah, it's...
But we came in with an original plan for the 20-acre portion that's on this side of the highway.
So you would almost have to buy the whole thing unless you came in for a subdivision.
Then why have we been speaking as it is separate parcels all along?
Because the original plan that came in was to develop this side of the highway,
which would require a subdivision.
Right, but we haven't seen any subdivision or any talk of subdivision.
Well, that would certainly have to come up, but we got into the whole issue of you can't really do this based on the original zoning review by the zoning officer at the time, and we got into the whole curative amendment.
So, Andy, I don't know if you heard that or not, but what Tony is saying is that it's a single tax parcel now of 27 acres, and the development land development that was brought in originally several years ago was for the 20 acres next to the township building, but not for the 7 acres across the highway. But it currently is a single parcel.
Okay. And you're saying you do have a provision in your ordinance that says a single tract divided by a road will be treated as a single tract.
Well, I think that's the way
the municipality's planning code clarified that a number of years ago. To say that the fact that a road goes through a property does not automatically subdivide it.
Right.
Okay, so this would really be surplusage, but maybe, let me ask Mr. Waldron, who sounds like he's arrived. Does that take care of your issue then with the 7 acres across the highway?
We did not originally propose developing the whole property as one plan. I mean, quite frankly, part of that is whether or not you're going to be in a position to follow through on one grand plan where you have two sides of this. You wouldn't be doing the same work, if you will. For example, we're not going to bring stormwater across routes across the highway to be on the 20-acre portion of it. So you would develop one side, then the other. But yes, I would say that, you know, If it's either purchased or under agreement for the entire property, even if there's not a closing right away, doesn't mean that we couldn't do it in stages, do the development in stages, the larger piece and then the smaller piece. So as far as the density issue being a question, yeah, we were breaking it up because I was looking at it as two separate purchases, but given the fact that it could be purchased at the same time, we'd have to figure that part out. But it's doable, and that would mean that it would be one parcel and could be considered as one project, albeit staged.
Right, so you'd have a separate stage across the highway.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so it sounds like that's not really an issue for us then. All right, let's move on. We addressed setbacks, and I think we're all set there. I added some language in to that section 4B.4. And I tried to read it in conjunction with section 414.4. which we have referenced previously, that allowed for greater greater lot coverage if larger setbacks were provided. So you really had to read what I have as B and C, that is the setbacks under B.4 and the lot coverage maximum under B.5, you have to read them together. which is consistent with 414.4. All right, parking, and stop me if anybody has any questions along the way. Parking, which is at B7, we kept in the language that we had discussed previously, including if there's a change of use, you're going to look at the parking and the traffic. And if initially there's no issue, there's no material change, then the permit gets issued. If there's a material change, then it's going to come before the township for further study, et cetera, as regards to permitting. The submittal requirements under section B8, I expanded them. So there's baseline requirements. This, we talked about this before, baseline requirements that are required. I changed the language as requested by the attorney for the applicant. As regards to sufficient information, we changed it to must satisfy the township. Added some things like dumpsters must be screened from view. They have to present a plan showing an integrated approach to signage throughout the PUCD. And then we added a little bit of language from the Ben Salem Township about a convenience store that also provides fuel dispensing facilities. So there's some protection for the environment there. And then access at subsection 9. I added some language we discussed before, which is that wherever possible, locate buildings within the PUCD so they face each other and front onto interior roads. And then added in that the applicant will pay an annual fee for the estimated maintenance cost for any traffic control devices installed as part of this. And of course, that comes from, especially with the state roads, the PennDOT tends to foist those maintenance costs on the township. And so we want to have a provision in here that allows you to pass them on to the developer. Happens usually in the normal circumstances, but I just want to cover the township with some language there. Next, you see 13, although it looks to be added, that's the same language that we've had in there about coordinated stormwater management. 14, this may generate a little bit of conversation. We had the requirement of minimum 20% of the lot shall be green or recreational space consisting of certain things, plazas, rec facilities, whatever. The township can make as a condition of the conditional use that the rec space must be concentrated in one or two areas, not spread out over the lot. That's so you don't have, for instance, a 10-foot wide strip that runs 90 feet long. Who's going to make use of that for recreational purposes? Except maybe a sprinter going up and down, but this provides for a concentrated one or two areas. But with the exception, walking trails can be located anywhere on the property. Now, a significant part to this section, I think, is that neither green nor recreational area can be located within any environmentally constrained areas or where storm water management facilities are located. So that ensures that there's not kind of double dipping on those two things. Otherwise, I think revised ordinance covers all we talked about. There are some general issues. We talked about adding provisions that are found in other ordinances, but when I reviewed section 417, as was requested, it does seem like many of those issues are addressed there. So I just incorporate 417 into the conditional use review process. That's in section or paragraph B.8. Mr. Waldron said he was going to provide some draft language regarding the signs, but I haven't seen that yet. I added that general requirement for an integrated approach to signs throughout a development. But otherwise, I think I've addressed most of the issues. Let me know if there's any areas of concern or for further discussion.
So 20 uses can be fit in 10 acres, right? It says 20,000 per use. So in 7 acres, there can be 15 uses, right? If we do the ratio. Like
with the 20,000 square feet in relation to the minimum acreage?
Right. The ratio of 7 acres and 20,000 square feet. Isn't that 15? So 15 uses can be fit in 7 acres?
Not with all of the other things that have to be addressed in order to develop. Roads, stormwater management, the shared parking, the entrances. There's a number of things that wouldn't... The setbacks that are being required here, if we're going to go over 25%, that's going to reduce that significantly. Nor were we looking for 15, to be honest with you. And we were okay with the 20,000 square foot minimum. I think at one point I had indicated 30,000 square foot, but that was okay. I believe, and Jim can certainly jump in if he disagrees with me, even in like number two, the idea that the building area would not comprise more than 25% of the total area, I don't think that poses an issue given the number of things we're proposing to put on and the amount of land that's involved in total as far as gross area. The biggest single thing, quite honestly, is probably if I had to narrow it down to one, and I don't think I can, is the maximum lot coverage. The fact that it could or may go to a higher number. I've always felt, at least in my experience in doing zoning, which has been a few years now, that when you provide for some type of a controlled development, there's going to be some benefit to the developer to want to even do that. And I don't think that's happening here. And maybe it's because this kind of development isn't welcome, but that doesn't mean to say that it couldn't be appropriate and beneficial to the community. And so the idea that, well, maybe you'll get more than 25% and maybe you won't, is really problematic for somebody to develop this type of a project. And I say benefit, and you say, well, we'd be better off leaving it green. I know there's some people that feel that way, but given the location, given the population growth in this area, and given the type of thing that's being proposed, I truly believe, I'm not just saying this because I'm being paid to represent this client, that having a controlled development gives you better leverage to have the right kind of thing done than if you just allow for subdivision up and down along the highway. It also makes it more able to utilize the property properly because PennDOT rightfully has a say on how many things they want to allow coming encroaching onto their highway and having 18 different turns instead of one controlled area. So I think in return for that, there should be some incentive to say, let's try and make this reasonable. Now, I'm not saying, oh, just give us 65% and don't worry about whether the stormwater works or not. No. But this is a may, and a may in my business is a tough one, because if you really, maybe because some people come out against the project, or maybe because some people are like to leave it the way it is, You end up with a frustrating situation as to whether or not you're going to get it. It probably discourages development, but given the fact that your comprehensive plan says this is where development should occur, I think it's contrary. And so I still feel that the idea of going to the 65%, provided you can show the stormwater is met, or even possibly up to 75, and the ordinance does allow for that, I acknowledge that. But this provision here says, now we're only going to start at 25%. You may be able to get it. And I know it's been argued, well, if you show it, then you'll get it. I don't believe that's the way the ordinance provides for it. I also, for the first time, I'm seeing that the 75-foot property setbacks being increased are automatically being put in here. There is some provision for increasing setbacks in that section 414, which talks about maximum lot coverage. Mm-hmm. But that's new. There's a couple things in here I've never seen before, which is kind of surprising to me, given our concern from before, but...
Right. So you're saying the 75 feet was increased from what?
Well, the 75 feet was never in this proposed curative amendment. There is provision that if you're going to go up to a certain level, depending on how many lots you have and how much lot coverage you're going to have, that there would be a setback increase. But that also varies depending on the land, the amount of land involved. And again, this ordinance is supposed to be not just for this project, but conceivably for other projects. Granted, there's not a lot of area that would qualify in the township, but there could be sometime in the future. So that's a problem for us.
Well, I responded that previously, this maximum lot coverage at B5 had reference at provided for in section 414.4. And that says you get, if you're 10 to 20 acres, you get 65% lot coverage if the accompanying minimum yards are maintained along all the property lines at 75 feet. So I just brought that language straight into this section. So I don't think it's anything new. We've talked about how 414 requires an increase in the minimum yards in exchange for getting greater lot coverage.
But again, that's a disincentive to any kind of development like this occurring. Even that, because if I take 70, we're talking 150 feet across each way of the lot. 150 feet between the front and back and 150 feet between the sides. Particularly on the sides. I mean, that's even the rear, that's a significant setback. We're not even talking feet, we're talking yards here. Right? No, it's feet there, sorry. That's a significant difference. Okay. We started off with 50 and 35. They were the normal setbacks for there.
You started off with that. However, going back to your thought that we could, you know, the developer could come forward with a plan of subdivision and take advantage of 414, increase the minimum lot coverage from 25% to 65%. But in that scenario, you're going to need 75 feet on each side as it stands. So the benefit that you get under PUCD is you have one instance of a 75 foot, let's say, side yard, as opposed to for each of the separate uses, if you just simply subdivide it under the DD district ordinance.
But I guess my position is that the 75 feet is too onerous as well. I don't know how it... I do understand, and it's traditional in most zoning ordinances, that if you've got a commercial development and it joins a residential area, you increase the setback. That makes good sense, or provide some kind of a landscape buffer, that type of thing. But I'm not sure why that is necessary just because you're increasing the lot coverage. If you can show that the stormwater is being managed, that significant amount of area should not be necessary. Now, if you can't manage it right, well, yeah, you might need more land dedicated to, you know, whether it's retention basins or something like that. But to make those automatic really ties people's hands for trying to develop the property.
Well, again, for the PC's benefit, we're just taking what exists under 414.4 and grafting it over to this ordinance.
But the reason why
you change it, if
go ahead.
That's what exists now.
I understand, but the reason why we've been going through this for the last 6 months is because this type of development is not provided for. And it doesn't, we've tried to make the case, and I think it's fair to make it, that we shouldn't be applying the same rules that exist for smaller individual lot commercial development. That by consolidating this, there should be some ability to reduce those, or at least control them in a way that's reasonable for development, and not just, okay, well, that's what you have to do on this property over here. For 2 acres, you got to reduce the setback. It's a disincentive to commercial development, and this is the commercial, this is the only zone that really allows for commercial development.
Do we have a survey of the property?
We do. There was a survey performed a number of years ago.
Okay. And was the right-of-way for PennDOT taken into account on it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is the right-of-way in the property or no?
It's through the property.
Okay.
But the total acreage has been removed of the... The right-of-way has been removed from the total acreage.
Okay. So the 27 acres is with the right-of-way taken out or without the right-of-way?
Minus the right-of-way.
Well, it's 27 total. So the right-of-way is already taken out there. So it's probably 29 or something.
Okay.
I have never seen a 25% coverage. I've been doing this quite a long time. The fact that you could make a decision, okay, against increasing it defeats the purpose of even trying. If we do 65%, we recognize that we must meet the standards of storm drainage and everything else. But 25% is just intolerable. I would like to talk a little bit about this.
I just want to say this for the record. Mm-hmm. I mean, that hasn't changed. It's always been 25% lot coverage. Mm-hmm. In the DD zone. Mm-hmm. So that was 25% when you went under contract, at the time you went under contract. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed. What changed was, by conditional use, section 414.1 allowed you to go up to 65, and if with permission of the supervisor, 75%. But that involved the increase in setbacks. So that hasn't changed. I mean, that's been 25% since this ordinance was first amended in 2017.
Well, maybe because nobody thought that that was too restrictive and didn't get challenged.
Well, then that's...
So now we have a challenge question.
Right. So that's I just want to make that clear, though, that the property owner saying he's never seen it. It's been in there since the ordinance was drafted.
I think he meant he hasn't seen it in his career.
Yeah.
Another municipality. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I think everybody understands the position of the, I'll call you the applicant of DEPG. Mm-hmm. And we have the existing ordinance now, you have revision in front of you. And unless I'm reading the PC wrong, I'm not hearing a request to revise.
Well, let me ask this question if I could. What is... Is the setbacks that you're proposing 50 feet on the side and rear and 35 feet with buffer planting if it adjoins a residential zone? Is that what you're requesting in your...
Yes, I believe that was in the June draft that okay. I provided. I'm going to pull that one up since there are six of them.
Yeah, because I'm a little confused because I've got a couple of drafts here.
Understand.
And I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Well, there are lots of pages.
Yeah.
But, let me pull up
the most recent one.
In June of, after the June workshop meeting,
yeah, I understand.
We submitted a zoning amendment, or a revision.
Okay.
Amendment. And that one had... Actually, that one had 35 feet for the front yard setback and 25 feet for the side and rear yards, with buffer planting if yard adjoins residential zone or residentially developed property.
Okay.
There was also one that did say, at some point, 50 feet front and 35 feet on the sides for a while. And I think that's because...
That's what
I believe it, that's the DD zone regular.
I think it is 35 or 50. Let me just add. I don't want to misquote anything.
Where did our DD go?